Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayaprakasa Swami on February 16, 1986 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 1, Text 19.
Text 19 of the Adi Lila chapter 1. So, it's a very important verse glorifying the three deities of Vrindavan, Madana Mohana, Govinda, and Gopinath. The understanding of these three deities properly gives one a deep realization of process of devotional service and the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness back to our professional platform, back to the level of pure Krishna consciousness. The deity of Radha Madana Mohana and the function of the Diksha Guru are similar. This is explained later by Srila Prabhupada that Srila Sanatana Goswami is the ideal spiritual master, for he delivers one the shelter of the lotus feet of Madana Mohana. Even though one may be unable to travel on the field of Vrindavana due to forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can get an adequate opportunity to stay in Vrindavana and derive all spiritual benefits by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami. Sri Govindaji acts exactly like the Shiksha Guru, instructing spiritual master by teaching Arjuna Bhagavad Gita. He is the original preceptor, for he gives us instructions and opportunity to serve him. The initiating spiritual master is a personal manifestation of Srila Madana Mohana Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual master is a personal representative of Srila Govinda Deva Vigraha. Both of these deities are worshipped at Vrindavana. Srila Gopinatha is the ultimate attraction and spiritual realization. So, first, by taking initiation, the seed of devotional service is given. And one is firmly established with the concept that I am not this body, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, Jivaya Sarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. Then, the next stage is to take instruction from the Guru, which is the Guru's function as Shiksha Guru. And then one follows these instructions of the spiritual master. By following the instructions and serving the order of the spiritual master, then one achieves the next stage, which is a transcendental appreciation. As one becomes purified, then one becomes more and more attracted by Krishna, and then the ultimate attraction in the form of Radha Gopinath is there. So, the objective of either of taking shelter of Diksha Guru and of following instructions, Prabhupada said that for my disciples, I am both the Diksha and Shiksha Guru. You see, sometimes it would be that in India, a person would take Diksha, and then the Diksha Guru may assign him to go to someone else and accept him as a Shiksha Guru. This was very prevalent. Although sometimes the Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru are one and the same. There are also many examples of that. Some of the disciples of the Goswamis, they personally would take instruction from their Diksha Guru as well. In some cases they would send. So if they're different or the same, accordingly instruction is there. Sometimes the person might take Diksha when they're 12 years old and the spiritual master may not be present. Later one may accept someone, seeing him as a transparent medium, as a Shiksha Guru. Examples like that are also there. But in ISKCON, generally speaking, at least for my disciples, I also consider myself to be their Diksha and Shiksha Guru for my disciples. Charyadi asked me to give guidance to his disciples. Giving guidance and being Shiksha Guru, no one can just say, I am your Shiksha Guru. Although of course there are two kinds of Shiksha Guru. One kind, anyone who gives instruction is Shiksha Guru. And then Shiksha Guru, in the other sense, is one whose words are non-different from the Diksha Guru, who is actually the full representative of Krishna. And his instructions are to be taken as not different from Krishna's. So that type of Shiksha Guru has to be on the level of the Diksha Guru or more, has to be on the same spiritual absolute platform, has to be speaking from the absolute platform. It's not that anyone who gives relevant instructions is also Shiksha Guru. There's two kinds of Shiksha Guru mentioned in the scripture. Those who give relevant instructions and those who are directly representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course we respect anyone who gives us the relevant instruction. But someone who is directly representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead gets special respect from the disciples. In any case, first platform is to get out of the material attachment. Sometimes we find that the sadhya process is that people try to immediately jump ahead. In India, there are many, in Bengal especially, there are so many different groups of sahajiyas which have come. Yesterday we were discussing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, how their different kind of upasampradayas have appeared. Even the Bhagavatam mentions that there's upadharma, adharma, upadharma, parodharma. There's the different kinds of dharma which are all a little bit off. Upadharma or apadharma, apasampradaya means that some similarity is there, but they've added their own speculation and it's been changed. Adharma is just blatant irreligion. So there are different types. So apasampradaya means that they're claiming to be connected with the sampradaya, but actually they're off. They're not following strictly. Of course, everybody is calling everyone else an upper sampradaya. Who is the real sampradaya? That's a point of discussion. So, therefore, everything has to ultimately come back to the scripture. What did Lord Chaitanya say? What did the previous acharya say? So in our line, we strictly follow these teachings of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We don't try to deviate from these teachings at all. There are other groups that say that these teachings are not as necessary at all. That one shouldn't be too much involved in all this study of scripture. That one's inner sentiment and feeling is more important. But if you feel devotion, if you feel, you know, very much in love of Krishna, that's the most important thing, irregardless of what the scriptures say. So they learn how to imitate that feeling. So they even convince themselves, I'm feeling love for Krishna. And they do all nonsense. So they may have bidi seva, where they offer bidis. Bidis are hand-rolled cigarettes, and they do their seva after chanting Hare Krishna. And they have made so many things which are totally speculative and completely unauthorized by the Shastra. So eventually they become exposed. That if your attraction is there for Krishna, then why you're attached to smoking bidis and cigarettes and things like that? So, that's why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stressed that rather than be someone who just puts on a show of being an advanced devotee and actually not doing any devotional service, better to be a sincere person and admit that you're fallen and try to get purified than be a hypocritical sadhu who is actually therefore not getting purified. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a very strict standard. We saw one of the letters that he wrote, put on the bulletin board for his ashram. And he was the first sadhu to get a motor car. In fact, he had a motor car before anyone, but he was using it for preaching. At that time, he saw that some of the Swamis were taking the car out to go and get some medicine from the doctor and driving back, parading in the car. So he became very upset that these people are coming from the village and becoming devotees, becoming big sadhus. I bought the car, it should only be used for preaching, but they're going out and buying medicine. So he wrote an instruction. The car cannot be used for anything but preaching. If you want to get medicine, walk. Walk to the drugstore. Don't use the car. The car was a very big preaching asset. So he didn't want it to be just misused. And then he went on to say that purpose of coming and living in Krishna's temple is to completely dedicate yourself to service. Everyone should be occupied with devotional, practical, accountable service. He didn't say practical and accountable. He just said be occupied with devotional service from morning to night. So if you don't want to do devotional service, then better to go back home and live with your family and practice devotional service in your house. Of course, at least in India, you can practice some amount of devotional service in your house sometime, at least in some homes. At least at that time, it was somewhat possible. Of course, in this Western world, you go back to your parents' houses. In most cases, it's very rare you can practice any kind of devotional service. So, of course, it's much more drastic. But Prabhupada, he also was challenged many times. I remember one time a girl said, why do we have to, we're always engaged in devotional service. Why can't we just, all this service, why can't we just chant Hare Krishna? I want to just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada laughed. He said, you want to just chant Hare Krishna? I said, all right. Then you go to Mayapur or Vrindavan. And you stay there. You don't have to do any service. You chant 64 rounds in a day or more Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You eat once a day. One time a day. For those who don't do service, they don't need to eat more, because if they eat more, they'll sleep. You should eat once a day and you should sleep 4 hours in a day. Go to chant and get up early in the morning. You chant the whole day and night. If you do that, then it's all right. Otherwise, you'll eat, you'll sleep, you chant a few hours. What is the use? You'll be sitting there chanting, and then Prabhupada showed with his head, you'll fall asleep. Therefore, I'm giving you so much service. If you don't do service, you'll fall in Maya. You won't think of Krishna. But Prabhupada told them, if anybody wants to simply not do service, then they should go to Mayapur. They can come there. We'll give them one meal a day, rice, chapatis, dal, sabji, whatever, one meal a day. They can eat. They can sit there and chant. I can't speak for Vrindavan, but they should also allow the same. That's Prabhupada's instruction. If anybody in ISKCON simply wants to chant, they can go and live in the holy dham and simply chant. No one mind, they eat once a day and they stay in the temple. We have 24-hour kirtan in Mayapur. We need people to chant there 24 hours a day. Someone stays there the whole day chanting, will be very happy. Otherwise, for the rest of the centers, the other 298 out of 300 centers, Prabhupada wanted everyone should be engaged in active devotional service. That was the standard that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted. He didn't want people to... He said, if you're living off of Krishna, you're not doing service, you're doing yourself a disservice. We come to the temple, what are we offering to Krishna? It's alright, in the very beginning a person's a neophyte somehow or another. Even they find that the neophytes are more enthusiastic sometimes to do any kind of service. But it's actually... The other thing, when Lord Chaitanya did the Gundicha Marjana, he was the most enthusiastic. When they had competition, who can clean more dirt? Lord Chaitanya cleaned more dirt than any other devotee. Srila Prabhupada told us in India, he should be the leader in the temple who can collect more money and can do more service. That should be the criteria. In any sphere. His whole point... In his, as they said, I'm competing with my God. I came here, I begged them, please, let us work together. Give me a place, I'll bring my disciple, we'll work together, I'll back you up. Nobody gave us so much as a pin of land or a pin of facility to move in. And that was like the purport. He just said, nobody, he didn't even get, he just said that we asked, they didn't give us any opportunity. So therefore, we have to get our own land, we have to get our own place. Then he said, this is the competition. That I'm saying this is the way of serving Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. To engage fully in devotional service and propagating the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And cooperating together totally. This is the way. That is Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and specific contribution. And he said that if you help me, we'll show this is the proper way. There he said that there's a competition. I want to show this is the way of doing, this is what Bhakti Siddhanta wanted. And I'm going to prove it because we're going to get the mercy of Bhakti Siddhanta and we'll be successful. And he was. So now people are turning around in India and they're saying, yes, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada had the right idea. And therefore he's successful. He said, let my actions speak louder than words. Everyone can say, I got the right idea. But then alright, then you implement it. Because I carried out Bhakti Siddhanta's order, therefore this movement spread all over the world. It's not my pride, it's simply that that's the order of Lord of Bhakti Siddhanta. If we follow the order of the previous acharya, we'll be successful. No credit to me, credit is to them. Credit only that I'm carrying out their order. People ask again and again, Srila Prabhupada, what is your secret of success? He said, my success, I simply try to carry out the order of my spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada, in his Bhagavatam purports, that the only purpose of a disciple living, actually, if a disciple, when the spiritual master leaves, he should simply die of separation from feeling the absence of the guru. How can you live without the only reason for living is because he's given some instruction to carry on his order. Otherwise, if we can't do the service to the spiritual master, what is the use of remaining in this world? Of course, Prabhupada didn't want anyone to commit suicide. What he wanted them to do was take their devotional service very seriously. I remember one time I was having darshan in front of Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. He was just chanting, meeting different devotees. One devotee left, he was there alone in the room. Suddenly, he became very serious. Then he started to smile. He said, today, Mahananda, I forget which devotee name, such and such devotee, has become very serious about his devotional service. Today, it's like a momentous occasion. The devotee has become serious. Now he becomes very determined, I'm going to engage in my devotional service. We go on in our devotional service, mechanically, coasting, somehow just on some mental platform. And then somewhere along the line, something happens. It's like Krishna, like a little light lights up. And we realize that unless we surrender to Guru, previous Guru, Krishna, unless we become completely serious, we're not going to go anywhere. Somehow it just hits us that we have to, that when we become serious, then the devotional service really starts to, otherwise we're saying it's like coasting. It's like you got a car, it's an idol. Engine's running, but you're not going, you're not accelerating. You have to put, every one of us has to put the gas on. Then we accelerate. The gas means to become very serious about our devotional service. So, what makes us not serious is we are thinking about sense gratification, we're thinking about our body, we're thinking about our mind, we're thinking about what other people are thinking, we're thinking about everything but what is going to please Guru and Krishna. So Madana Mohana are so merciful that even such lame people who are not able to focus their mind on Guru and Krishna, they are so merciful that they attract us to their devotional service. Krishna is so kind, he comes down into the material world simply to attract us. Even, but Krishna is so kind, he comes like that, but Lord Chaitanya, he's even more merciful. He comes and points, look at, there is Krishna. See how attractive he is. See how wonderful Krishna is. Because we're so blind, we don't even look. It's like the owl that said, there's no sun. Everywhere you can see Krishna's manifestation. You can see how he's acting. But still we say there's no God. This is ignorance. The Lord Chaitanya kam jeev jago, gora chanda voli koto, nidra jao maya pisa chida kole. So wake up, sleeping. How long are you going to remain sleeping? The lap of the witch maya. Wake up, I've come here to engage you in the service of bhajivo bila boliya este sansara bitare. Bhuliyo rohile tumi abhidhyara bhore. That I am come here, bhajivo, to engage you in the devotional service of Krishna. Why? Because bhuliya, because you've forgotten how to serve Krishna. Bhuliya, bhuliya means you forgot. And why are you? Rohila abhidhyara. Rohilo to me. You are in ignorance. You are in ignorance, therefore I have come to remind you, to wake you up, and engage you in serving Krishna. Here at Nupanihati, Jagannath is so kind, he goes out on his Rath Yatra car to just engage the people in his service. Actually, Jagannath is the first deity that Prabhupada worshipped in New York. So it's our primary deity, first deity to give ISKCON his mercy. I also was very fortunate in Montreal, the first deity I had been given the service of was the Jagannath deity in Montreal. In ISKCON, first Jagannath came, then Prabhupada brought Nitai Gaur, then finally he brought Radha and Krishna. So we have the same order. The order that Prabhupada introduced us to deity worship. Actually, first we understand Krishna. Krishna the Supreme, but we need the most merciful form of Krishna, because without Krishna's mercy, at this stage, being in the Kali Yuga is very difficult. But then, everyone says we're Krishna, devotees of Krishna, but to really go deep into devotion to Krishna, you need the mercy of Krishna's most merciful form, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then one can develop love, spontaneous love, which qualifies one to worship Radha and Krishna. So, some very interesting points here in this purport. One of the points said here, Pango refers to one who cannot move independently by his own strength, and Mandamate is one who is less intelligent because he is too absorbed in materialistic activities. It is best for such persons not to aspire for success in fruitive activities or mental speculation, but instead simply to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pungo, someone who cannot move independently by his own strength, and one who's less intelligent because he absorbs the materialistic activities. So actually, how can someone be successful if they're a pungo or a mandamati? Normally the materialistic people, they simply aspire more and more for different materialistic successes. But here are different angles been given. Best for such people who are so hopeless, the crippled, the less intelligent, those who are in this suffering in the material world, better for them not to aspire for success and fruitive activity. Because what success can they have when they're pungo and mandamati? Better they simply surrender to Krishna. Just like one time Prabhupada was joking with one Swami, someone was saying that though he's very renounced, he said, no, who would have him? Who would marry him anyway? That's why he took sannyas. He was joking with his sannyasi that in this material world, someone who is very proud, they always feel very confident, self-confident that they will all be able to enjoy, I'm very important, very expert, very intelligent, and so on. But somebody who's a little frustrated, for them it's easier to engage in spiritual life. Actually, everybody is a pungo. Everybody is crippled. Although some are proud. Because nobody can move independently by their own strength. We're not able to move by our own strength. People are proud, just like there's not big athletes and runners. But sometimes just one little ligament or tendon or something goes and they become disabled. Actually, they are simply running on their previous karma. This body, one little thing goes wrong, everything is finished. We're not independent. We may think we're independent. Actually, we're depending only on the mercy of Krishna. So when we're totally dependent, at any moment something can go haywire, something can go off. The better for us to engage in devotional service. Similarly, those who are less intelligent, those who are absorbed in the materialistic activity, they always get cheated by Maya. They get misled by Maya. They try to do so, they make a plan, how to enjoy, how to be happy, and it always, in the end, turns sour. Never works out as planned. We have various cliches, best male, made plans, the men and mice, so on. So we have so many cliches. But end result doesn't work out as planned. A big president, previous president of the United States, he makes a plan to save the hostages in Iran with millions and billions, the whole country behind. They send over the helicopters, they all break down. Big failure. Millions of dollars, helicopter deserted in the Iranian desert, whole thing a flop. Big embarrassment. Big plan, put the whole nation watching on television, first time civilian teacher going in the space shuttle, they're all watching. Two devotees were doing Sankirtan at that time in Florida. They were driving, then I think Bhaktivedanta Supaswami told me he was driving to see Acharya Dev or something, and they just happened to see some smoke. They went looking, and they saw this rocket go up. And someone said, maybe that's the space shuttle. I said, no. They were watching, and they saw it blow up with their own eyes. I said, must not be the space shuttle. It's not supposed to do that. We all think now we made it. Now we have it. We're infallible. We don't have fallible sins. We've got it all worked out. You see, all these things that happen. Russia may be having tongue in cheek. Well, at least we're together. You see, we don't let anybody know what happens here. Even if we have a failure, nobody can find out. So 3-4 days after all the countries in Europe are getting heavy radioactive reports, what's going on? Their fallout is coming. Then they start looking around, where is it coming from? Then they find it's coming from Chernobyl. But Russia never tells anybody when anything goes wrong, so they didn't tell anybody, but they were finding what's going on. Whole countries are becoming contaminated. Their cows and meat are all becoming radioactive. So then finally, Russia has to admit that we have a big nuclear accident on our hands. So the point is that no one is able to move independently by his own strength. They may say there's no God, they may say so many things, but they're not able to move properly, perfectly, independently on their own strength. So therefore, what is the real best thing they should do? They should depend on Madan Mohana. They should surrender to Krishna. Instead, simply to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The perfection of life is simply to surrender to the Supreme. In the beginning of our spiritual life, we must therefore worship Madana Mohana so that he may attract us and nullify our attachment for material sense gratification. See, just like booster rocket, Madana Mohana Govinda Gopinath. Person takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, engages in devotional service. Madana Mohana give their mercy to get us completely fixed up in devotional service. So, Sanatana Goswami, he was very merciful. He gave us different rules and regulations how to practice devotional service so that we can guide our mind, guide our consciousness out of the material attachment. Just like they have some things are there, like if you want to heat up iron, you have to keep the iron in the fire. As soon as you take the iron out of the fire, it starts to cool down. We want to advance in devotional service, we have to keep the iron inside the fire. If somebody is able, through various maneuvers, to take all pressure off himself of devotional service, he simply enabled himself to be in Maya. Remember Tamal Krishna Goswami, when he was the president, GBC, BBT trustee, everything in Bombay, he went to Srila Prabhupada, he was frantic, he said that Srila Prabhupada, from morning to night, the GBC, the president, the BBT, the construction is so I don't have any time. From morning to night, it's complete every moment. There's no free time. Prabhupada said, very good. This will keep you out of Maya. This is very good. This is what we want. No free time. Not a moment to spare. We should have such an intense pressure on us. Pressure coming, if we're not able to have the pressure come from within, then better we have pressure come from without. When a devotee reaches Raganuga Bhakti, that means that if he sits idle for a moment, he starts getting agitated. Where's the service? I have to do something for Krishna, my guru. That is what's known as spontaneous devotion. If the devotee, for a few minutes, if he doesn't have devotional service, if he doesn't hear topics about Krishna, he starts to get anxious, fidgety. What's going on? He just starts feeling uncomfortable. He starts losing that atmosphere of devotion. He feels that, like a fish out of water. And before that, Vidhi Marg means that our inclination is to be in Maya. Therefore, we need very strict rules and that pressure of rules, regulations, service given to us to do this, so that we'll always stay in devotional service. And when we stay long enough in the fire, then it becomes spontaneous. Then we like devotional service. We don't want to do anything else but devotional service. We don't want to do anything that's not directly pleasing to Guru and Krishna. We should give our different activities certain tests. When we do something, is this going to be pleasing to Guru and Krishna? Is this going to be displeasing to Guru and Krishna? If it's pleasing, alright, we can accept it. If it's displeasing, we should reject it. Is this a wise use of my time in devotional service, or is this an over-endeavor which is not ultimately going to produce something which will be of use to Krishna? Is this a whimsical action that I am doing, which is not authorized by Sadhu, Shastra and Guru? Or is this an over-application of Sadhu, Shastra and Guru fanaticism which is missing the real point and sticking up on some specific rule? Because there's so many rules and regulations, and if you get hung up on one, you lose sight of the other. You have to take everything in perspective. Lord Chaitanya wanted the Sankirtan to go on. So we have Bhagavad Vidhi, the Sankirtan movement. Then we have deity worship, Pancharatik Vidhi. The two don't always mix. There's areas where they conflict. Then one has to see at that twilight zone, that area where they meet, that which one, how to coordinate the two. How to make them meet. Actually, they're not in contradiction in the real sense, but to a limited view they may appear to, because the purpose of both is the same. But the process is slightly different. Bhagavad process is to increase the devotees to be preaching. So for that, maybe sometimes we go places which are not clean, which are not good, but we have to go there because that's where all the conditioned souls are stuck up, to bring them out of their illusion. When Pancharatik, one shouldn't go into dirty places, one should remain pure and do deity worship and that. So these contradictions are there. So sometimes the pujari think the preachers, what are they doing? They're not as pure. They're coming back, they're a little bit messy and their clothes aren't always dirty, but they're going out there in preaching, taking so many risks. We always say, take a risk for Krishna. We glorify. But what is that? Why we say take a risk? It's a risk means when you go out and you preach to the materialistic people, you go out and try to engage them in devotional service, the risk is that you can take their subtle mentality, their subtle cynicism, their subtle criticism, their subtle negative or materialistic attitudes, their subtle or gross desires for material sense gratification. And that can become part of you. Like a disease. You can contract it again. It's a risk. Therefore, we come back to the temple to see the beautiful form of Jagannath, Nitai, Gora, Chandra, Radha, Madana, Mohana, to purify our heart so that we can again go out and try to, with that purity, attract people to take to Krishna consciousness. So we need to come to the temple, to come to the spiritual place and become purified. We need to always analyze our mind. As soon as we identify and we think that what we're thinking is correct, then we know that we're in danger. Our thoughts have to always be analyzed. You can never rely on your thought.
We take intelligence from the Shastra, intelligence from the Guru, intelligence from the lives of previous devotees, example they gave. Apart from that, whatever the mind comes up, at face value, we don't accept anything. That's why the principle of preaching is always to give a reference for anything that's said. So whatever we may think, this is wrong, this is right, but we should be able to give a direct reference to it. And then we should always refine our realization by spiritual discussion, by spiritual ishtagoshti, hari katha. We should become so absorbed in trying to improve our devotional understanding and realization. We have no time for how to improve our service to Krishna. We don't have time for materialistic thoughts and materialistic desires. This is the secret. How did Prabhupada tell us to be enthusiastic? He said that you should become so absorbed in your devotional service that your heart is flooded with spiritual ecstasy. So just like a seed, if it's kept flooded, just like in India, we have rice paddies. In the rice paddy, when I was first in Mayapur, we had to do cultivation. Actually, we were only given 35 rupees a day. Or excuse me, not a day, a week for our maintenance. 35 rupees a week for 7 to 12 devotees is 35 rupees at that time, 7.5 rupees a dollar, would say roughly less than $5 a week for 6-7 devotees, and then later it went to 12. That was only allowance that we were given. 35 rupees was worked out. I think they increased it to like 25 rupees. Anyway, it's impossible to live on that much money. You cannot live. So I went to Prabhupada and said that, can I grow agricultural crops on our land? And then my GVC said that, how can these Western people grow the agricultural land in India? Totally impossible. Forget it. It's like, you know, I said, Prabhupada, I'm sure that we can do it. Otherwise, we're getting very little money to be able to maintain. We have the land that I don't like to see idle, Prabhupada, so do it. I always like it if the presidents tell the GBC that I want to do more devotional service than you think I can do. It's very encouraging to me if they prove that they can do more than I expect. I always like to do more than whatever my GBC would allow me to do. Whenever they always say, well, you're never going to be able to do that. So then that was like a real special impetus for me that, alright, Prabhupada said I can do it, you say I can't. Let us see, by Krishna's mercy, what we can do. So I got the award in the district for the highest yield of rice there in Mayapur. The thing is, we had to work day and night. And we were going in the rice fields, we'd walk over the rice fields and we found there were cobra snakes, so many things. But the example I wanted to give wasn't that. The example was, that was all by Prabhupada's mercy, because otherwise we couldn't have done it. The example is when we were growing the rice, we found from practical experience, from plowing and growing, that you had to keep the rice paddy field filled with water. As soon as you let the rice paddy water drain out, the mud would dry up. And there'd be so many cracks in the field. Just like you see in that Natashi pond, you know, how the mud is just completely cracked. Then if it rains, all the water goes down into the soap soil and it doesn't stay with the rice. The whole thing is you create a mud puddle. You get all the soil very muddy and it creates a kind of a water barrier. The water stays there longer and you have to keep giving little irrigation. It takes very little water. Once the soil dries up and cracks, then you're finished. In fact, it's so important that sometimes you have to go there and give a massage to the earth and just work out all those cracks so that the water will stay. Otherwise, you won't get any rice. Because then what happens if your water dries up, the weeds take over. Rice can't compete against the weeds. The weeds don't sprout as long as there's water. Rice will grow in the water, but weeds don't grow in water. At least as long as they're in the seed form. The seeds can't sprout. So you already sprout the rice seeds and make little saplings and you plant them by hand, transplant them in the water, in bunches. So there's no grass in there. It's completely without grass. So as long as you keep the water, you practically, there's no weeding to do. You get a full rice crop. But as soon as the water dries up, the little weed seeds start to sprout. And before you know it, you've got a field filled with weeds. And then you get no rice. Complete failure. So Prabhupada uses this as an example that as long as this is a very ancient example from, you know, right from the original Vedas. You keep your heart filled, you see. If you let the seed dry, the water dry out of your heart, it'll sprout. So if you keep your heart filled with devotional enthusiasm, you're always active in trying to do something to serve your spiritual master. Then those weeds don't sprout. As soon as you allow that enthusiasm, that level of devotional service to go down, the water like drains out, then you get compounded problems. Material desires start coming, the weeds start sprouting, and the more weeds come, the less energy you get, the more material, it's just like a syndrome. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the only thing to do with the weeds is what you have to do when that happens in your field. He says, cut them down. Pull them out from the root. When you get weeds, you gotta go in there and you have to pull them out. You have to distinguish what's the weed and what's the rice. Sometimes it's very hard to distinguish between the two. They're very similar sometimes. I mean, they're all grass. So the farmers there, they get so expert, they showed me, look at, you see this little, you see this one, that one, this one's rice, that one's weed. I looked, couldn't see any difference. They're both green. So how do you tell? Aha! This is the secret. Then he said, you see here, this one's got a little fuzz on it. That's the weed. Rice doesn't have any fuzz. Ah. So they're so expert, just by, I mean, fuzzman, it was like a slight little hair, you know, like not even a millimeter, not even a, you know, 32nd of an inch, just a little bit of, little hairs on the weed. But on the rice, there's nothing. So you just have to be able to see some little symptom. Aha, this is a weed, pull it out. Then, if you don't, somehow the weeds are expert. They're able to take all the fertilizer, all the manure, all the strength from the land, and your rice gives you like 3 grains. Little warped, little grain, nothing. You couldn't even eat anything. There's nothing. It's like a total loss. So when the weeds are smaller, then it's easier to pull them out. The bigger they get, the harder it is. The more we let our weeds grow, the more we let them take root, the harder and harder it is in the future to pull them out. I've had devotees tell me that I got this attachment in my heart. I know it's a weed, but I'm afraid to pull it out. It hurts. I'm attached. Those are sincere devotees. Most devotees don't admit it when they have a weed. When a weed's been there for a while, we get a dash to some subtle desire, some subtle identity, some subtle or growth attachment. We want to do things in our way, or this way, or that, or somehow, whatever. This weeds are of so many. This kuti, nati. Some weed is there to just criticize others, to be negative attitude. Always everything we find fault. That's kuti, nati. No matter what we see, we always have our own interpretation of it. And so by doing that, we don't engage in pure devotional service. Jiva hingsa, to dislike others, to want to put others down, to want to cause pain to others. That's jiva hingsa. Then nishidachar, to break the principles. Some devotees, they say, oh, I'm a good grihastha, I chant 8 rounds a day and I only have sex once a day, but I chant Hare Krishna beforehand and I only take marijuana once a week. I'm not like other people that take it every day. I'm a good grihastha. They have people wrote like that. Letters to the GBC, I'm not that bad. There are others that are much worse. But the rule is there that we're supposed to only have sex life for procreation, we're not to take any intoxication. Not once a week is all right because others are taking daily, I'm only taking once a week. But through various illusions, they've been able to compromise and they become very attached to this nishidachar. So they think that it's all right. These things are not important. I mean, after all, I'm a devotee. Prabhupada, this, that, because then you think the problem is that in India, everyone's a devotee. Have you ever met an Indian who's not a devotee? Everyone's a devotee. And in fact, they are. To some extent, they believe in Krishna. They're Hindus. So we don't want Hindu, you know, we don't just want people to be just that type of devotee, that they only believe. That's all right. We respect them in our heart, that they believe in Krishna. Thank you. But we want people to come up to a little higher level of devotion. Therefore, I only know preaching in India, first of all. This is a new experience to me coming to the West. But I tell you that I don't find anything new in the West in terms of Maya. Maya is more glamorous here, but the Mayas are already there in India with more variety. There's no new varieties here, just simply different colorings. But the types are all the same. You know, just like weeds might be a little bigger or different, but the basic weeds are the same. There you get people who have created whole sampradayas based on these type of compromises. You see, here just the beginning sprouts. They have whole sampradayas based upon their compromise of following their orders, a guru's order. They create their own disciplic successions, so-called, based upon some form of compromise of the guru's order. Okay, some may say that, all right, everybody wants to eat fish. Fish is not that bad. It's, after all, simply swimming in the ocean. And eggs, after all, they're all unfertilized. So they have some sampradaya, they can eat unfertilized eggs and fish. Because, after all, I mean, fish is a water fruit. It's this fruit of the water. So like that, there are some, they say, well, I mean, after all, sex isn't bad. So they create a philosophy, how to accommodate. They may say, well, the body, after all, is the microcosm of Krishna's macrocosm, and since everything is ultimately the energy of Krishna, so the body is pure, therefore anything the body does is pure, therefore sex is also pure. So we can have pure sex simply because we have a body which is part of Krishna's energy. These are the different forms of Sadhyism. And it goes on and on and on. So there the difference is that they create a philosophy to substantiate it and to make it legitimize it. Where in the West they're not, you know, they're just developing this art of creating philosophies on, for substantiating their illicit activities. You know, they haven't become so expert yet. This is the problem. No matter how you try to legitimize sense gratification, the same thing as sense gratification. That's why they're upasampradaya. They've deviated from the real path. Therefore, Prabhupada, he stressed very straight path of Krishna consciousness. It's a very profound the way that Prabhupada balanced all of these things. Balanced preaching, balanced the rules and regulations. It's a perfect balance for this modern age. This much service, this much chanting, this much temple activity, this much preaching, and constantly remain, the main thing is remain enthusiastic to propagate the message of Lord Chaitanya. Because if you try to do everything perfectly by the rules and regulations alone, we are not expert enough to do that. We're going to make mistakes. And then if you just start trying to do it mechanically, you make a mistake, then you have to take the penalty. Then you don't progress. But by spreading and propagating this message, by giving it to others, you get special mercy. You get special points. So that covers any little mistake you make. Although you shouldn't use that as an excuse to make mistakes. But we're bound to sometime make some error. Even unwillingly, it should be unwilling. We shouldn't be willing to make error. We should not want to make error. But sometime, it may happen. So by being absorbed in this preaching, propagation, attitude of sankirtan, then even if there's some defect, knowing or unknowingly, if we make some offense, that can get purified very easily. So Madana Mohana, especially merciful to attract us, to get us into that fire of serving Krishna. And when we're in the fire, that's Radha Govinda. And then finally, by that fire, when we become completely purified and completely attracted to Krishna, the perfection of life is Radha Gopina. Shouldn't compromise. Prabhupada, one thing, he never compromised. He never called something that was bad good, or something that was good bad, to please anybody. He would always say what was absolute, he would say it absolute. He may have been merciful, and may have been in different situations, he may have been patient. But his standard, the standard has to be focused upon. We may tell people, all right, chant Hare Krishna and try to get... We may see they're not going to follow these principles. We don't tell them that they shouldn't follow. But we say, all right, first chant and come and associate. Then, because we know if we start pressing on the principle, they'll get scared and go away. They can't follow right away. But by coming and associating and chanting, gradually they become more strong. Then we start to, one after another, see which type of anartha we can encourage them to relieve themselves, so they'll get more strength. So they'll, by having less weed, they'll get more of the direct fertilization, the direct energy from the chanting. To be successful, one should try to absorb oneself in Krishna consciousness. The only reason that we're not able to maintain fixed in our Krishna consciousness is because we don't remain absorbed. As soon as the absorption is like keeping the heart flooded, keeping the rice field flooded. When you let the water drain out, weeds come. You stop becoming absorbed in your devotional service. You start thinking about this one and that one. You start thinking about this sense gratification, that sense gratification. You start thinking about everything and anything but how to carry out your personal instruction to Guru and Krishna. The one purport we can get from Srila Prabhupada's life. After all of us are his children and grandchildren and followers. Was that he took up the instruction of his spiritual master, even though there was no other god brother or god sister, anyone of his who was there to assist him. There was no one else who was, rather they all discouraged him. Historically, everyone that he requested for encouragement either ignored him or discouraged him. It's historical. When he said that Lord Chaitanya predicted this message would spread all over the world, they said, no, how can that be? The world means India. It will spread over India eventually. He said, no, Prithivi Te means the whole world. I don't know how the whole world in America, they're going to chant Hare Krishna. One preacher came back from America and Canada to India, and he said that one thing I have very difficult in answering, when the people say, you are coming from poor country, we have got all technology and material advantage. What do you have to give us? He said, I don't know how to answer that question. That was the first question I asked Prabhupada in Australia. He wrote us, he sent us the news clipping, he said, Swamiji, why you're coming to the, we're advanced nation, why you're coming from a poor country, what do you have to give us? You're coming here to beg. He said, no. And come here to save you from a dog's life. You are simply leading a cat's and dog's life, so I come to save you. How do we lead a cat's and dog's life? What do you mean? A cat and dog are only eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Don't you eat? Cat is eating, you're eating. Cat is sleeping, you're sleeping. You may sleep on bed, he's sleeping on floor. He's eating out of dish, you're eating off of table. You're having sex on this in your hotel room, cat is having on the street. You're fighting with nuclear weapons, cat and dog are fighting with teeth and fang and claws. What is the difference? I said, yes. You're right. So I'm coming to save you from that existence. The Prabhupada didn't back off from them. Prabhupada did it. He would have loved to have done it with his god brother. He never left the Krishna conscious movement. He never left the Gaudiya Mutt. He didn't leave it. He was preaching in it. He was trying to work with his god brothers. They asked him to please go out. Because he was preaching, people were being unattracted, whatever reason. They said, listen, you have your great ideas, you're very progressive, but you're too much progressive for us. Better you go and do your own center. You can have so many other devotees and things like that. This is the best thing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.